support Mandela if he is our candidate. I really would hope that Mandela would support, you know, maybe expanding the Supreme Court. That's a big issue that of mine. I would like to see the Supreme Court expand it, and I only knew of one candidate that was doing that and or supportive of that, and that was Tom Nelson. So, you know, that's who I was supporting, and, you know, I'm really concerned with the Supreme Court, so I'd like to see us do something there.
Chris, but, let me interrupt again. You mentioned longer primaries. Well, you like Tom Nelson. Tom Nelson got into the race before the Donald Trump election in 2020, before the Joe Biden election. Tom Nelson was running for approximately 2 years before he decided, like, 2 weeks before the primary to pull up stakes. Now, Tom Nelson obviously ran out of money, literally ran out of money, no money, or he would have stayed in the race. I feel quite confident. The rest made, quote unquote, strategic choices. Either they didn't want to continue spending their own money, or they said, you know, there's more long-term upside to pulling up stakes now, not coming in second or third, and endorsing now while endorsing still means something. I don't like it either. I wished it would have played out. I'm sort of a political junkie. But if our goal is ultimately to beat Ron Johnson, Chris, this is probably the best possible outcome.
Well, yes and no. I mean, doesn't that kind of undermine democracy, though? One person, one vote. I mean,
they didn't take away your right to vote. They're still qualified candidates, and you could still vote Tom Nelson or Ola Kara or Peter Bukarski, and there are others. But, you know, I guess I'm just pointing out, Chris, there are others, and you can say, you know, well, these other people didn't have the ability to gain the same traction. You know what? Some people could have been more strategic and tried something differently. You know, between Godlewski, what she spent, $2 million, she's got Bubkis to show for it. Alex Lazary spent $17 million, and you now know the name Alex Lazary, but not much else. He didn't even make it to the election day. So I'm not... Go ahead.
That's why I would prefer public financing. I wouldn't want anybody to have that advantage. I don't want their money in the elections.
Sure.
I don't think that that's how people should be winning the elections. I think people should be winning elections based on their public service. What have you done?
Well,
and how much money have you made in business?
Okay, but look at Mandela Barnes. The winner of the nomination has been in politics since he was a young man. He was an assembly guy. He ran for Lena Taylor's seat. Then he ran for lieutenant governor, and he won. You know what I mean? And he served 4 years there, and then he's looking to expand. Isn't that the way you're supposed to build your political resume?
Yes, but I still have a problem with people consolidating. I watched this happen with the Bernie campaign, how people just dropped. And I just think that there's a little bit, it bothers me, and I don't think that it's going to seem okay with a lot of voters. I think that there may be perceptions there with people that are not in the party that may have a problem with it.
Chris, but do you think there were outside influences? I mean, I've always wondered how the field consolidated around Joe Biden so rapidly between Iowa and Super Tuesday. I mean, it was like, you know, Buttigieg and Klobuchar and
no, I don't think that was outside. I think it was inside.
Well, I think it was Obama putting his thumb on the scale. And exactly. I think there was a fear that Bernie Sanders was the rising candidate and Buttigieg correct. Wasn't strong enough to beat him. So it really came down to get out of the way. And, you know, Joe Biden's the familiar Uncle Joe, and he's got the higher name recognition, the former VP. He's going to win. And I didn't like that. You know, per se, I didn't like the process. I didn't like the fact that Tony Evers, the day he ran for governor, was the presumptive nominee. No one ever challenged Tony. And what do you know? He was the presumptive nominee. And it was a close race with Scott Walker, but he won. But he's going to be challenged, I think, probably harder by a business guy, an outsider like Tim Michaels. I think Tim Michaels poses a great threat to Tony Evers' reelection. And, you know, so I look, how did the Democrats arrive at the nominees? Well, we like nice guys. We want a nice guy president. We want a nice guy governor. But I don't know if our times call for nice guys. But Democrats, you know, we don't sharpen the elbows. Republicans have no qualms doing that, Chris.
Well, I still think we need to get the money out of the campaigns and out of the politics. I think that it is polluting it. I think we need to stop with the businessmen running our country because it's running into the ground. They're running it like a business, and running the country is not running the business, and running the state is not the same as running a business. And ever since we started putting CEOs in charge, the country's been going down the tubes because they're running it as a business, and it's not a business.
Well, it's like a lot of Trump's prior failed businesses. And Tim Michaels, if you're unfamiliar with the, thank you, Chris. Appreciate your call and your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Tim Michaels, who's kind of new to politics, although apparently ran back in 2004, I believe it was. And this guy's rich. I mean, it's like the biggest construction firm in the state's got his name on it. And they build roads and pipelines, I understand. And, the guy lives in, like, Connecticut. He's kind of carpetbagging, but Republicans don't care. They're still going to galvanize around the guy because Donald Trump likes him. But he is going to be quite a contrast with Tony Evers. You know, he's going to come off as a younger, more vibrant man. You know, I'm going to go kick some ass. Well, Tony Evers doesn't come off on the debate stage as an ass kicker. Nice guy, but not an ass kicker. Trump's coming next week. He's going to stir the pot as well. There was another thing that you should be aware of. The former president of the United States, since, you know, it's Friday and we're airing grievances, and this is strange, but I'm going to air one on behalf of Donald Trump. Because this grievance is directed first at Mitch McConnell, who I love when people hate Mitch. So my enemy is the enemy of my enemy is my friend in the second. But more importantly, Donald Trump slamming Speaker Robin Foss, sort of a twofer, a Trump twofer. So let me jump in here. Let me give you a little of the raw story version. I saw this one. I didn't even know it was going to have a little twofer for Robin Foss in here. This is a big one. Trump ridicules Mitch McConnell's Senate bill fiasco. Well, to set the stage just for a minute, let's not forget, Joe Manchin kind of shocked everybody. Him and Chuck Schumer have been negotiating since the middle of the month behind closed doors. And Republicans thought the Build Back Better and all incarnations thereof thought it was dead. And therefore, they, what, supported a semiconductor deal. And there was bipartisan support. And then like 5 minutes later, Joe Manchin said, oh, and I got this other bill and want to bring it to the floor. Through the reconciliation process, where you only need 50. You don't have to get it through a filibuster. So anyways, Trump's taking pot shots at Mitch McConnell over that topic. Let me read a bit from the raw story. Donald Trump took time off from hosting a Saudi-backed $25 million golf tournament at his Bedminster Resort in New Jersey on Friday to snipe at Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell for being played by Senator Joe Manchin. On Wednesday, McConnell and 13 fellow Republican senators voted for a Democratic-sponsored bill investing in U.S. high-tech manufacturing, only to have Joe Manchin an hour later agree to support a separate package that will include climate investments, raise taxes on the rich, oh my God, and provide for prescription drug reforms. That was a blow to McConnell, who was holding up the manufacturing bill due to the larger bill, only to have Manchin betray him immediately before the immediately after the vote. Pardon me. Add to Joe. According to Yahoo News, McConnell said in June that Republicans would hold the manufacturing bill hostage. He's very good at that. Again, to the quote, if Democrats moved forward with their broader bill, which would pass through the party line vote process called reconciliation. After that, Manchin threw cold water on the idea of passing a sweeping bill, and Republicans expected Democrats to pursue a pared-down package only containing drug pricing reforms. Clearly, Manchin never left the table. And Republicans, along with the rest of the world, found out when the senator released a statement announcing his support for a party-line bill minutes after the GOP relinquished its leverage. So that sets the stage a little bit. Again, we'll get to Robin Foss, and we'll get to Trump, sadly, as well. News of McConnell being rolled, he was Rick-rolled, as Senator Mike Braun called it, well, called it rolled, appear to have delighted the former president, who has been battling the Kentucky Republican for making critical comments about him since his election loss. And as I try to scroll the page, there's a big, fat Tim Michaels ad. I mean, he's by the digital as well. Talking to Truth Social, Trump wrote, "Well, Mitch McConnell got played by the Democrats again. This is a big," all caps, "big one." Keeping the, and here's where it gets good, at least for our friends listening in the state of Wisconsin. Keeping the vein of attacking Republicans, Trump also took a shot at Wisconsin GOPer Robin Voss, Speaker Voss. How did he get thrown in with the turtle, Mitch McConnell? I'll tell you, just listen. While he, Robin Voss, was thrown in for failing to help Trump overturn the 2020 presidential results, and Trump wrote on the Truthy Social, "Robin Voss has done a terrible thing to Wisconsin. Election integrity seems to mean nothing to him, despite a sweeping Wisconsin Supreme Court victory. It was a rigged," and this part all caps, "rigged election." Oh, I got a little shout out. My son says, former U.S. Senator Russ Feingold, having a little pizza down at the Roman Candle where my son's waiting. So
we got the deets.
Feingold from Middleton, where I live. But anyways, he's from the good neighbor city. But back to this Robin Voss crapping on by the former president. Keeping the vein of attacking Republicans, Trump also took a shot at Wisconsin GOPer Robin Voss. I told you that. More from Trump. I'll just read the whole statement, minus the Trump voice. "Robin Voss has done a terrible thing to Wisconsin. Election integrity seems to mean nothing to him, despite a sweeping Wisconsin Supreme Court victory. It was a rigged election," all caps. "A lot of people will be voting against Voss on Tuesday." If you're unaware, Wisconsin has a partisan primary on Tuesday. And Voss isn't naming his electoral opponent, the Speaker of Wisconsin's Assembly, but he is advocating effectively vote against Voss. "A lot of people will be voting against Voss on Tuesday, and for a very good reason, a do-nothing rhino." Now, this is perhaps the most powerful Republican in the state of Wisconsin, setting aside Ron Johnson, perhaps. But legislative leaders, state government leaders, this is the highest ranking Republican in the state of Wisconsin. And according to Trump, he's a rhino. And Trump thinks you should vote for, and I'll tell you the guy's name, if you happen to be a conservative, do what Trump wants you to do. Go vote for Adam Steen in Pleasant Prairie. Go vote against Robin Voss. Trump's latest attack on McConnell and Robin Voss in this case comes just 1 week after he called the Kentucky Republican. Trump called McConnell a dishonest sleazebag. You know, with friends like that, who needs enemies? Well, Lordy B, Josh Call, listening to this fine radio program, I suspect. We've got some breaking news, folks, right here in the great state of Wisconsin. They broke it before the weekend. The State Department of Justice has launched investigations of a scheme to fraudulently request ballots to prove voter fraud exists. Now, that's not exactly the Trump scheme, but this is the scheme, the Waits guy that we talked about yesterday on the show. Guy went out and requested Robin Voss's ballot and Corey Mason, the mayor of Racine, and like 10 other people. And then he went and told the sheriff of Racine County, and the sheriff, the Trumpster in his own right, well, Schmalling, the sheriff, said, "Well, that's some damn fine work. Let's go investigate the portal that you use to, what, seek to fraudulently gain access to someone else's ballot." Well, last night, the Wisconsin Elections Commission met. And the commissioners, including our friend Mark Thompson, does the big show on Monday nights, the Paul Revere show. He said, you know, if a guy goes to the newspaper and confesses to a crime, I think we can do the investigation, right? Talking about the Wisconsin Elections Commission should refer for criminal investigation. Well, the breaking news in the state of Wisconsin, the DOJ will be investigating the fraudulent requested ballots. You know, the guy trying to prove voter fraud by committing voter fraud. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
Does this mean we're not friends anymore?